Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah?
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Like, I don't even get the egg. I genuinely, I'm like furious. I'm like, what? Swallow your friggin', take a breath. Take a break. I'm not going to go anywhere. Just stop talking for like 3 seconds. That reminded me of something.
What? Did it say something that reminded you of something? Okay, very specific.
Yeah, because it just reminded me of like, the greatest ick that I feel like almost every single woman will ever have.
Mm-hmm. I know what it is. Go ahead.
When a guy bends down in his butt crack shoes. It's like,
you know what's funny?
What?
I saw like a whole group of women, like just moms, get the ick all at once.
When?
And like make a comment. We were at some type of celebration, whatever.
Harari moms?
Yeah.
Got the ick?
And like, this man was like sitting in front of them, mm-hmm. like you know, the women were sitting at the chairs, like sitting on the chairs, and the men were sitting on the floor. Mm. And the one man that was like facing away from them towards the group, mm-hmm. when he bent down, his whole backside. I don't know how he did not feel this. I don't know how he did not like do that check that you do, like straight. He was sitting at a position where like it stretches it out completely, right?
Ew.
And to the point where the moms called me over and were like, "Hey."
Oh my God!
Can you go and tell that man?
Oh my!
To like, you know, pull down his thing, and I have to be the awkward guy, and be like, "Hey,
what did you say?"
I was like,
"Why are you always in these situations?"
I don't know. I didn't mention that they mentioned. They said that.
Yeah.
I just said, "Hey, your shirt is like, you know, a little higher up than it should be." So he like did that thing where like they tuck it. To where it's like literally a hair.
When
a
they move thread. It untucks anyways?
Yeah, like a thread was holding this thing closed. So like 2 minutes later, this guy makes one little shift, the whole thing just shows up again, like pulls up again.
I just like,
I think people just don't have that like situational awareness.
Yeah, and like
physical awareness.
Maybe it's like for a women thing, like.
It's not a women thing. I feel like guys feel this too.
No, like, because, you know, like for us, especially Muslim women that don't want to uncover their outer, for example, like you're constantly checking, like, am I good?
Mm-hmm.
And like even women who aren't Muslim or maybe don't wear hijab, like you're still checking, like, is anything showing? You know what I mean? But I don't know, men, they just like, they're just out there.
It's something I'm always like hyper aware of. Like if I'm going to wear a shirt like this one that I'm wearing right now, I don't know if we recorded it, but I was literally complaining about like my shirt being slightly up or whatever. Mm. Because normally I'd wear an undershirt with this type of shirt. What happened?
Oh, actually, I'm going to interrupt your thought.
You literally just like made some weird face.
Because I was about to sneeze and I was trying, okay. I was concentrating on not sneezing.
And then you cut me off.
I'm sorry. Finish your thought and then I'll say what I have to say.
Oh, I forget what I was going to say.
You said, I don't know if we were recording, but my shirt, my undershirt.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like normally for this type of shirt, I would wear an undershirt if I'm going to be in an area where first off, I know I'm going to be praying where you can't be showing that kind of stuff anyways. Mm-hmm. And also where I know there's going to be people sitting behind me who are going to be able to see this.
But like, aren't men's shirts usually like longer anyway? So like, why would you?
No,
your pants,
not all of them. Like,
they're
like
cropped?
More tighter shirts, and like sometimes, you know, the guy guys don't go shopping as often, right? And over time, men tend to put on a little bit of weight, right? But they have this pride where they can't accept that they are no longer a medium. You might be not only a large, you might be an XL now, but you're still trying to fit into the mediums.
Stop.
I'm just saying, okay, know your size. Drop your pride for a second, and just accept that you are no longer the medium you used to be in high school. You are now an XL,
crazy.
Especially if you're a dad. Just straight. Just don't even look at the medium anymore. Just go straight to the XL section. I'm already wearing XL.
But you know, like the undershirts for men, they're usually like really long.
Now,
is that why?
What?
Is that why?
Yeah. So you can tuck it in.
And then your butt crack won't show?
Exactly.
But also, don't you wear underwear? Like, is your underwear also low riding if guys low ride? Dads don't low ride though. So like, why do you have that problem?
Because sometimes the pants like pulls it down, especially if you're wearing like a belt.
Yeah, and you guys put everything in your pockets. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So if everything kind of gets pulled down. I'm pretty sure there are people who like just don't have that like physical awareness where it's not only the shirt being untucked, whatever. Like, I think that this same person also like is that type of person who'll be eating food and they get a little bit on the side of their mouth.
That doesn't give me like it enrages me. Like, it makes me so that
and especially if they're talking and you just see it there. It's like, I'm not even listening to what you're saying anymore.
That's the equivalent to like someone who's talking so much and they don't swallow their saliva.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I literally sent a meme to Nevada.
I think you sent to me too. And that little white that white foam starts to build up.
It literally, like, I don't even get the ick. I genuinely, I'm like furious. I'm like, what? Swallow your friggin' take a breath. Take a break. I'm not gonna go anywhere. Just stop talking for like 3 seconds. Swallow your spit. Breathe and then continue.
Or someone's talking and they build up like a bubble in their throat.
And they keep going?
And they keep going. So their voices change now.
And I'm like, bro, what are you in a time crunch? Like,
it starts sound like a frog and you're like, just swallow.
I'm gonna start crying. Why do people do that?
I don't know, but you know, it's sometimes you just had to push through. In their mind, they're like, I just gotta push through.
Say what I have to say before I lose my train of thought. That's crazy.
I got a tissue.
So guys, if you remember last week's episode, Amir started off by saying that he was sick and then immediately jumped into the intro just so that I couldn't react to it.
Don't say it wasn't me. It was not me,
Amir.
No.
And guess who got sick this past week? Me.
It wasn't me. First off, I don't think it was like an actual sickness. Like, so I don't think I was like sick. You know what I'm saying? There's like sick and there's a sick. I wasn't sick.
Maybe your immune system is just strong enough to like, it got rid of the toxins in you or whatever.
I think it was maybe just a response to like something I was eating or like something I was doing that week. You know, I recently started taking more magnesium. Maybe it's like a reaction to the magnesium. I still need to test out that theory. I haven't taken it a couple of days, but still, I feel like it was something related to that. I don't think it was an actual like I was getting a cold, because it did not get any worse than that. And like, that's as far as it went. Like, I literally felt that a little bit on my throat or whatever. A little bit of stuff, like not even stuffiness, like just like barely. Maybe just a like residual from my throat, right? And then it went away.
I heard that little.
No, that's just me, you know, being aware of the mucus in my mouth. Or not mucus, saliva mouth, and swallowing it. Okay.
Because we just talked about it.
Exactly.
You know, I'm going to get back to that topic in a second. But the way that this cold hit me so fast, because Monday I was excellent. I was in the office. I was thriving. Tuesday, worked from home. Still thriving. Wednesday, went into the office. And here's the thing.
What?
Monday, I wore a jacket. And I'm like, it's not even that cold. I don't need to wear a jacket. So Wednesday, I didn't wear a jacket. It was cold. There, like, that was when the weather switched overnight and it became freezing, right? And I had a work dinner that night. Granted, the dinner was literally across the street, but like, just waiting for the light, talking outside.
I'm still surprised you'd be going to these work dinners, man. I cannot. I'm like, yo.
It was like a once in a blue moon. Like, it's almost.
Yeah, it's a corporate world. I'm not in that.
I know.
I just don't understand that world. Okay.
You got to play the game, I guess.
I guess so. Yeah, honestly, it is a whole thing of playing the game. We mentioned that last time, too.
Yeah, you really like. And obviously, there are times, like, not to get into the whole corporate talk, but if you want to get ahead, sometimes you have to just play the part, like not play the part, but like really just appease to. It's all about networking and socializing and maintaining relationships, but not being fake about it, like actually being genuine, because it's really, really true what they say. Like, it's not what you know. It doesn't matter what kind of degrees you have or what volunteer
it is
experience. It's who you know, because there are like. You, especially when you're in corporate, like, you never know when you're going to meet somebody randomly that that could be, like, I've met people and I have casual conversations with them and they're friggin' directors of, like, departments. And I'm just like, well, I guess if I'm ever interested in any of my coworkers that are listening to this, mind your business. I'm kidding. No, but, like, you never know.
What happened?
Oh, I was like, what is that? It's a siren.
Oh, okay. I can't even hear it.
Can I have a tissue?
Oh, my bad.
One more ick that I get.
Yeah. Like, don't say that while you're picking your nose.
I was just
repeat that.
Okay, fine. Okay, one more ick that I get, like, and it makes me like get a physical reaction to it.
Yeah.
Is, you know, when people like what do you call it when they like go like
snorting?
But when they snort their snot.
Oh, yeah.
You know when people do that?
Yeah.
And it gives me like a physical reaction where I feel like I'm getting snot buildup or like mucus buildup.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how is that like? They're doing it. How am I getting this?
The whole like, placebo thing, right? I don't know. Maybe it's like a communal response that your body has.
But it's so like...
It's like yawning. You know how but yawning is like more of a communal... It has a very communal response where like if one person yawns and someone else looks at another person who yawns and they start to feel... They start yawning.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I guess. But like,
I've never heard it for that, but it might be a thing.
But like, has that ever happened to you?
No. I don't think so. Where I've like... Where someone was... Like
snorting like that, like their own mucus, and then you get mucus buildup in your throat, and you're just like, why is this happening?
Nah, maybe only during Ramadan.
Yeah, during Ramadan, it just like goes in overdrive, and you're like, oh, where were you when I'm not fasting?
Exactly.
Why are you here? I haven't eaten anything all day.
Exactly.
I hate it. That's why it's a test.
Exactly. Honestly, the hardest test of Ramadan.
No, for real though. For real.
Taking all that mucus.
Yeah, but like I don't like when people do that. And then they like, oh.
What?
It's just so, like, I understand sometimes you're trying to clear the mucus. But when you're doing it like repeatedly for like an extended period of time.
Yeah.
I will never forget. I was flying. The one time I was traveling by myself, it was 2 years ago when I flew to Memphis and then met you guys in LA.
Oh, yeah.
My flight to Memphis, I believe, there was a guy sitting next to me. And unfortunately, I think I didn't, like...
Choose your seat properly?
Yeah, I didn't choose my seat. I was in the middle of two guys.
Mm.
One was a really old guy who was, like, coughing, sneezing, disgusting.
This is, like, not too far off.
Yeah, I know. That's why I was like, sir, you're not even wearing a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And the other guy was just, like, doing that snorting thing. And I was just like, ew, well, I don't like that. And I was so angry. I sat on the 5-hour flight like this the whole time, like just making myself feel small. And like, women, you shouldn't make yourself feel small in the presence of a man. But I didn't want to touch any of these. One of them was like, he was a bigger man. So his body was spilling over into my seat.
That's always like, speaking of like airplanes.
Yeah.
What is the like etiquette of the middle seat? Like, okay.
Middle seat deserves both armrests.
Do they deserve both armrests?
Yes, because they have nowhere else to go.
Because, yeah, for me, recently, I was stuck on two flights. Well, one flight where I was stuck in the middle seat. And I didn't know. Thankfully, like, I was doing pretty good in the middle seat because, like, I already naturally just cross my arms a lot of times. But, and, like, when I sleep, I would, like, usually sleep with my arms tucked in or whatever. But I wasn't sure, like, dude, does my elbow go behind and the other guy's elbow goes forward?
Oh!
Like, does the other guy wasn't using his elbow thing, so I started, like, leaning on it every once in a while. But, like, what is the etiquette of that? Because, technically, there's not enough elbow. They should have two arms.
They should.
For, like, you know.
For both people.
Exactly. So you don't have that, like, awkward moment where you're throwing bows to each other, you know?
Well, the etiquette is whoever sits like naturally more forward puts their elbow in the front, and then the person who sits naturally like more back, then they would put theirs in the back. That's how I would see it.
I can see that. Oh my God, sorry.
But
I got a little bit of that blame I'm just talking about.
I know. All that snorting.
Honestly, when you were talking about it, now my like throat kind of feels a little weird. I don't know.
You see?
I feel like I have a hair in my throat though. That's different.
Okay, snort, fine. I'll just plug my ears. Go.
No. I'm good. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, welcome back, everybody.
Oh, yeah. To the Cousin
Connection Podcast. And so it's officially fall season in Toronto. It's been fall, actually.
Just has kidding. It? Yeah. When did fall come in? October 22nd?
September 22nd.
September?
By the time we post this, I think it's going to be... Yeah, no. It's going to be November. November 1st, my favorite month ever.
There's a lot of birthdays, let's just say.
Yeah.
In November. Okay.
The greatest people were born in November, just saying.
Now I can say that. I'm playing.
If you guys haven't caught what he's putting down, I know.
They don't even know what I'm talking about.
I always tell my friends, my family, Amir...
Yeah.
The best day of their lives was November 15th.
best day of our lives, you know, it was just chilling that day. You know? Wow. Nothing really like crazy was happening that day. It just felt really nice.
Amir's boring, it was really quiet until life.
Like, until like 3:45. I don't know when you were born.
I was actually born at 11 in the morning on a Sunday.
Was it a Sunday too?
It was a Sunday.
Was I born on a Sunday too? I think so. Possibly. I, for the longest time, thought I was born on a Friday 13th. Like Friday, yeah, Friday 13th.
You thought Friday the 13th?
Yeah, it was my birthday.
Yeah.
But I think I was born on a Sunday as well.
If you've ever looked at a calendar, like back in 1992.
I need to double check. I don't remember. Is this something people normally know? Like they know the day they were born?
I only know because I recently had to put in my birth date and actually showed the days of the week.
Oh, like you had to actually go back to the year?
Yeah.
You know what? I've had to do that too. I just never paid attention. I would just look at the number and click at it.
No, I was like, oh, I was born on a Sunday. Cool. And then I asked my mom, like, hey, what time was I born?
Now I'm going to look at that after this.
Yeah, we'll Google it.
Speaking of birthdays.
Yeah.
And like aging, this week has been a real test.
Why?
Because like, first off.
Oh, what, you texted me?
Huh?
What, you texted me?
Oh, that too. But like, first thing, for the longest time, for like maybe a month or two, I was like, why are my mustache hairs? Why do I feel like they're like touching my nose or whatever, right? Yeah, I know, right? And they're not even that long. So I kept like shaving them down. I'd like line it up or whatever. And I'll still kind of feel it. And then finally, I think like the other day, I looked in the mirror and I was like, it's time.
What's time?
The nose hairs have overgrown. And now they're like slowly starting to come out.
What?
So the reason that I felt that weird itchiness on my nose is because of the nose hairs. So I have officially reached that age where I actually have to start, like, you know.
Hold up.
Using a nose hair trimmer.
Your nose hairs grow like that?
I didn't know that either. My dad's used it for many years, but I finally have reached that age where a nose hair trimmer might actually make it to my shopping list.
Don't shave too much of it because the hairs usually help protect your nostrils from like inhaling a lot of bacteria.
Yeah, but I'm sure they have those like specifically made nose hair trimmers.
Like trim them, but don't be like those random like viral Instagram videos where like those barbers will stick a whole thing of wax in the guy's nose.
Oh, no, I'm not doing
and
that.
And then rip it out. That looks so painful.
Nah, speaking of painful. The other thing that happened, the other thing that happened was I messaged her the other day where I was saying, yo, like, I think we were supposed to go to an event or whatever. I was like, I don't think I'm going to make it because I went to the gym, normal routine. You know, I haven't done deadlifts in a while. So I was like, you know, let me hit some deadlifts. Don't hit, like, I wasn't going to hit like big weight or whatever. I was just warming up. I bend down to pick up the bar and I just feel like something just pull immediately. And at first I was like, damn, it must have been my hamstring. Even though I stretched out my hamstrings or whatever. And for the first 20 minutes or so, I thought it was my hamstring. Turns out you can pull your abductor muscles. I don't even think people know which this abductor muscle is. So
do you have a diagram here, Professor Howard?
I don't know maybe I can put up a picture of it on here. But for the people listening, like your abductor muscle is basically like that muscle on the inside of your thigh.
How did you
like
pull that?
Right next to your groin.
How did you pull that?
I've never felt anything on this muscle. Maybe like years ago, there's one time where I didn't pull it, but like I worked it out by using the good girl, bad girl machine.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The abductor and adductor machine.
Yeah.
But after that, like I've never felt anything. I never even thought to stretch that or massage that area at all. And when you don't realize how much of these smaller muscles you use or how often you use these smaller muscles, because I literally could not like walk properly for the rest of the workout. I immediately just started doing back workouts at that point. I skipped legs completely. And to get to the pain part, I have these like patches that I use. They're like A535 patches. I don't know if they have them in America, but essentially they're like those hot, icy hot patches. And I had them for my back, which is basically like a large patch. It's like, I don't know, like 10 inches by 4 inches, whatever. I was like, oh, this might work for my leg. You know, what's the difference? My back and my leg, right? But I didn't account for the fact that it would be in a very sensitive area, as I mentioned earlier. So I put this patch on my inner thigh. And and almost within like the first 10 seconds, I knew this was a bad idea.
Why?
Because the amount of like residual heat that transferred to a certain very sensitive area was almost like...
Was it instant?
It was almost instant.
Really?
To the point where I almost like ripped it off, but I was like, well, like, you know, do I just accept it for now?
Damn, you played yourself.
I did. I did play myself. So I accepted the pain. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take this pain. I'm just going to let it do its thing. And hopefully, yeah, inshallah, by tomorrow, I'll be perfectly fine. Because I want to be able to actually get back to the gym. My goal is always to get back to the gym as soon as possible. Even if I have an injury, I'll do light work, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I need to be able to at least get there. So I put it on there. And like, it was doing its thing. It was getting hot and cold. And because it was like close to the time that I was about to go to sleep, I was like, oh, you know.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by Chev.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
How bad can it be if I sleep with this thing, right? Because I was thinking of taking it off, but I was like, oh, it still has a lot of that, like, stuff, the, that whatever medicine is. It has had a lot of that on it. I don't want to waste it, you know? I'm still a little frugal out here. So I left it on there the whole night.
Isn't there a time limit?
Like, there is supposed to be a time limit, but let's not worry about that. Oh, I left it on all night, and then I wake up and I go to the bathroom. I forget that I even have it on at this point. I like pull down my pants to like go to the washroom, and I see his patch. I was like, oh yeah, the
patch. Amira.
I feel like a girl who forgot to like take out her thing.
No, you girls know. You can literally die from that.
Oh yeah, I felt like I was gonna die. Cause tell me why. God. Putting it on, it's not like a very sticky material. Tell me why this thing felt like I was like like ripping off wax from that sensitive area, because this thing was pulling off every hair.
Yeah, obviously.
It felt like it was pulling off my skin. And like my,
because you slept in it.
What?
You slept in it, and probably the heat warmed it up and made it extra sticky.
I guess so. So I was pulling this thing off. It took me literally like 15 minutes to take this thing off. I was slowly doing it, and eventually I got to that point where it's like the super sensitive skin area. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just gotta like pull through, like do the quick, you know?
You basically waxed yourself.
Yeah, I ripped it off, and now there's a big patch of
Stop!
Like no hair in that area. There wasn't that much hair there anyways.
So
which
what
I was
you're
surprised.
Saying, what you're saying is,
what?
You can survive getting waxed.
I'm never gonna get waxed. Well, there's no point in getting waxed.
Let's
as
just
a man.
Try. Can we just try waxing your legs?
No.
Let's just try it. I feel like if you ever wanted to enter a bodybuilding competition,
I'm not a bodybuilder, so I don't have to worry
about
that.
But isn't that what you're aiming for?
No, my body. I've never wanted to do bodybuilding. Bodybuilding is a whole different world, man. That is not my world at all. I do not have the discipline to do that.
Yeah, you do. You have discipline.
I have like discipline. I have discipline to a degree. I have like.
Who was that one guy that we
higher
saw?
Than average discipline?
Who was that one guy that we saw?
Who?
And, like, you told me that they dehydrate themselves, like, a couple days before the competition. And he was a black guy. The black guy that won. What was his name? He just won recently. The black guy. The black bodybuilder. Remember? We were looking at his pictures. And like, I was like, oh, my God. And he had the shape
of
that. Oh,
no. He wasn't black. He was just, he had a lot of tanning.
He's white?
Yeah.
No, he's not.
No, you don't
know
about this.
Shut up. He's black.
No. He's actually, there's two people.
There's no way he's white. That's blackface. You can't do that.
Well, there is a whole like thing about blackface and not really, but like what essentially it is blackface because a lot of no, it isn't. You know what? I'm still debating on this, but essentially in bodybuilding, mm-hmm. in order to accentuate their muscles and like make sure that they appear at their fullest,
yeah,
they will go through like three or four levels of tanning before the show. Like right before the show, mm-hmm. they actually have these tanning booths already set up for them. Where they go in completely naked and get their whole body covered in tan, and they'll do that 3 or 4 times to get the deepest like color out of it, or the deepest like almost golden brown, like a black color basically. Like, yeah, not black.
The
but
darker
like, you know,
the
like
skin tone,
people's.
The more your muscle definition will show.
Exactly, especially with the lighting in there, they found that out. So because you know, if you're a pacey white dude or whatever, if yeah. you go inside there, the definition is not going to come through.
Even if you like oil
to,
up your
you know,
body?
A darker skinned black man. What?
Even if you oil up your body?
Yeah, it doesn't show up as much. So a lot of them do that where essentially they all get darker than I am.
Yeah.
With tan.
They're like my color.
Exactly.
And if you're Caucasian and you look like me.
But, you know, it's sort of accepted in the bodybuilding world that this is like what they have to do to be able to at least compete with people who of darker skin tones.
But the black people tan too.
They tan not as much, but they usually oil up a little bit more. Mm. Yeah, because their skins are, especially the dark ones, their skins are already like tan to a degree. So they just have to, well, it is skin more than tan, but they, in order to accentuate a little more, they put oil on them so it shows up. Yeah, so that's just, you know, a little bit insight into the bodybuilding world. But I think the person I did show you was black, and there was another guy who did win, so I don't know if I was confusing the two there.
But is the black guy, you remember? You know who I'm talking about. Yeah. I just don't know his name.
I can't remember it either.
It's fine. But you remember we had this company. Okay, yeah. I don't know. I just thought, like, maybe you were into bodybuilding.
No.
And you made me watch that guy's vlog, the actual bodybuilder.
I do find, wait, who?
He's a white guy, but you made me watch.
Probably Sebum.
Probably like his like journey to his competition. And
yeah, Sebum. I think it was Sebum. Okay. Yeah, he's actually the guy that I was originally thinking of. That he won recently as well.
Oh yeah, no, not him. This was like a black guy who recently.
Okay,
won.
But yeah, so for yeah, that whole world is completely different. Like I'm more of a powerlifter.
What's
and
the difference?
Even now, I don't even know if I can even consider myself a powerlifter because of all the injuries. So
what's
I need
the
to
difference
really get back
between
that world.
Powerlifting and bodybuilding?
Powerlifting is just about the lift. It's about
like one
squat,
lift that's really heavy.
Squat, bench, deadlift. Those three lifts, whoever has the maximum in their weight class, you have to lift them the most weight, essentially.
Bench is where you're lying down and like that, right?
More like pushing out when you're on your back.
But you're on your back and you're like...
Yeah, you're going more out, not up, but out, right? You're going on your back.
Yeah, but if you're on your back, you're pushing up.
Oh, sorry. I think just the way you're pushing your hands, I thought you were pushing up. But yeah. Essentially, yeah.
Yeah,
we're thinking about the same thing.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that's bench press, and then your deadlift's the one you pick it up from the floor. Squat, everyone knows what squats are. But yeah, the goal of powerlifting is in your weight class to be able to lift the most weight. While bodybuilding has nothing to do with a workout or weights or anything. It's just about how you look.
Yeah, but don't you have to lift weights in order to get muscle?
Well, yeah, you have to lift weights to be able to get those muscles.
Yeah.
But that's like all before the show. The actual show itself is how do you look, right? Mm. So, and their workouts are very different. Well, for the most part, they are different in that like powerlifters will focus more on doing the main lift as their workout for the day. So like if they're trying to get their squat up, they'll do squats, and then all the rest of the workouts are called accessories to help improve their squat. So like you might do squats, and then let's say you have a hard time getting out of the hole is like the bottom of the movement where you're squatted down and trying to get back up. Some people find this a little bit sticky, harder to get out of, so they might do a pin squat, which is essentially like when you go down, the bar, you rest it on some pins when you go down, and then you have to push back up. So essentially you're starting from the bottom from rest, and then you have to push it back up. Or like for a bench press, if your bottom is your weakest point, you might do a pause bench where you bring the weight down and you pause on your chest for like 3-4 seconds, and then you push. And these are all ways of improving your lift. While bodybuilding is more of, they are going to the minute detail of their muscles to the point where they'll... say like their peak of their bicep is not high enough, or it's not showing as much, so they might work on like just the concentric, like a very specific movement that helps with that, and maybe another muscle that helps push up that muscle. So it's very like scientific in a way.
So,
but they're both very scientific, but bodybuilding is even more detailed to a degree.
So they're essentially isolating muscles.
They're very isolated.
Then those people online that are like, oh, you can't do isolated workouts for specific muscles, that's a lie then?
No, you can't. No, that's people say you can't do isolated workouts to spot reduce fat.
Oh, you that's what they
yeah,
say.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it.
But you can do isolated workouts to gain increase muscle? The size of a certain muscle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which is why, like, even, you know, they say, like, abs are made in the kitchen, and
yeah,
they are.
Yeah.
But if you want your abs to stick out more, they're just like any muscle. The right. more you work them out, the larger they will get.
Right.
So they will stick out more if you do higher workouts. But, like, an average person, if they just did had a good diet mm-hmm. and they got down to a lower body percentage,
mm-hmm. body fat percentage.
You will, yeah, body fat percentage. You will see some visual abs there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want them to be larger and more pronounced, that's when you start introducing more like ab workouts.
Got it.
Yeah.
Makes
but
sense.
Yeah. For bodybuilding, like they'll have, I don't know, your rear delt, which makes your shoulders look bigger.
Mm.
There are specific workouts just for that one little muscle on the back.
Really?
To make it look bigger so your shoulders look bigger. There. It gets to that degree, to that amount of detail.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. How do we get onto the bodybuilding thing?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But now you guys know.
Yeah, now you guys know. I could literally have like a whole other podcast on just workouts and stuff going on. Actually, recently, what?
I was just going to say, I actually met someone that you know too yesterday at
really?
The comedy
Who?
Show. His name is Sebri, also, coincidentally.
Oh, I already know Sebri, yeah.
Sebri yeah.
From like around childhood.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was like, I haven't seen him in so long
yeah.
that I thought he was his older brother. They look exactly the same.
Low-key.
To me.
Yeah,
I haven't seen either
the
of them. Like,
yeah.
They look so similar.
Yeah.
And
that's actually someone who you could ask more about bodybuilding because he has done a bodybuilding show.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, like, have you ever talked to Amir about the podcast?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, we should have you on one day if we ever
yeah,
talk about.
Yeah, he actually
like,
did a show, so he would be a good person to speak more about that.
Okay, Sebri, if you're listening to this, because
yeah.
he said he listens to the podcast.
There you go. So we can have one too. But yeah, so. That's a very
niche.
The bodybuilding world is something that I'm interested in.
Oh,
like
okay.
to watch, not to participate.
Like you wouldn't try it just once,
huh? No, because well, the thing is that the reason I said earlier that I don't even know if I'd call myself a powerlifter is because I do more power building workouts, which is a mix of both powerlifting and bodybuilding, where you're doing those lifts to bench, squat, and deadlift to like increase. Your weights in that, your ability to lift in that. But you're also focusing on, like, you know, getting bigger arms or growing your legs or doing other workouts to improve also your, like, body composition.
So you're trying to increase your, like, increase weights
mm-hmm.
and your technique,
yeah.
but also increase the muscle and definition body comp.
Yeah, because body comp is a huge thing. Like, people don't realize how much they can affect the way their body even looks
mm-hmm.
just by doing different workouts to improve their body composition or, like, in their eyes, improve their body composition. Because everybody's idea of what the ideal body looks like is different, right?
Yeah.
So, like, some people, let's say they want to have more, like, an hourglass figure.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a way you can do that is by doing more back workouts,
mm-hmm.
wide grip back workouts to increase. Because sometimes you can't really, your body has an amount that, like, it can reduce to, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
To where, like, your hips can only go down to a certain size, right? Like, let's say you're someone who's a little bit more, has naturally more wider hips.
Yeah.
So, in order to make the hips look smaller, you need to increase everything else, right?
Well,
so
no, you would want the hips to look bigger, but your waist to look smaller.
Sorry, your waist. There's
you're
only
talking about the rib cage area, right?
Yeah, the rib cage area yeah. can look, can be larger for some people, and some people have a smaller rib cage, right? So, in order to increase that hourglass shape, I'm just trying, you know, from because I know a lot of women listen to this, you might do something to increase your the size of your back and
like
shoulders,
the upper back area,
your upper
right?
back and shoulder area to create the illusion of that hourglass shape. Because if your top is bigger
yeah.
and you increase the size of your legs as well,
mm-hmm.
then the middle will naturally start to look smaller relatively to them.
Yeah, but a lot of women have that fear of appearing too manly if their shoulders are too wide.
But the thing is that unless you just have the genetics to gain
have
muscle
one.
Like crazy, like you just have those genetics, it's almost impossible. Like you see guys,
yeah.
natural people. I'm speaking of people who are natural, who don't take any type of enhancers or supplements. When I say supplements, I mean like those, the illegal supplements. And unless you're taking those, like, it's almost impossible to look as muscular as those people do, right? So you can increase your size, but that definition, a lot of that comes down to how your dieting at the time.
And the diets, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very unrealistic thing. The reason I can understand why people think that is because they see what they're seeing online and on Instagram and all these other social medias, but they don't realize that a lot of people online and on social media are doing things to specifically look that way, mm-hmm. and things that you just don't have access to begin with. So don't even think that that's something you can do unless you're genetically inclined to be like that.
Which is crazy because you see those same people that are using mm-hmm. illegal substances to look that way, mm-hmm. and they'll be like, oh, buy my like ebook, join my program to exactly. look like me.
Without being transparent about the fact that they did enhance themselves in a certain way. Mm-hmm. And it's mm-hmm. very rampant, especially in the like lifting industry.
Yeah.
It's very, very rampant where people aren't open right. about that mm-hmm. and even will actively deny it and like call out people for saying that they are on it.
Well, it's illegal, right? So won't they get in trouble if they admit to it?
It's like a very gray area kind of thing, right? Like a lot of times they can say, oh, it's doctor prescribed, especially now with like TRT, like testosterone replacement therapy, which is a legal way of increasing your testosterone count, which is what a lot of men go for, at least. Like, there's now legal routes of doing it. Of course, it's more expensive. The cheaper way, of course, is getting it illegally. But there are now legal ways of getting these supplements and these performance enhancing drugs. I forget there's a word for it specifically.
PED.
PED, exactly.
I was like, PhD? No, that's not.
I know, I was about to say. Wait, I just realized it enhanced. I was going with the H instead of E for some reason.
Yeah, that's why I was like, PH. What's the H?
But yeah, so I try and, you know, warn people that, like, the things you're seeing online, mm-hmm. a lot of them are, especially the ones we're not disclosing, a lot of them are actually using certain supplements to look that way.
That's not right.
Yeah, and it can, unfortunately, warp a lot of people's minds on what is realistically, like, what is a realistic goal.
Yeah.
Especially now, even with Ozempic, right? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, like, once... side effect, or I found out how Ozempic works, and it's actually not that crazy. All it does is suppress that certain
suppresses your
enzyme
appetite,
or like that certain thing in your brain that tells you you're hungry. So you don't feel hungry, so you don't even feel like the need to eat something at that moment, right?
Yeah,
so
I've that's seen a why lot of TikToks that are like that, but also I don't know how not legal, but like mm-hmm. I don't know how she did this, but you know, Kourtney Kardashian has like a vitamin, like mm-hmm. a gummy vitamin brand.
I didn't know, but okay.
She has a gummy vitamin brand, and it's like targets different things, sleep.
Yeah.
Like different things. She has one that's like a, like, because Ozempic is mm-hmm. GLP or whatever that stands. I can't remember what it stands for. She has one that is a GLP gummy vitamin. I don't know.
I would see if that's actually even proven to work. Like, someone should do a third party study or whatever, because the thing about the vitamin industry is that it's not regulated, in that they can literally say like, oh, our vitamins have this amount of this mm-hmm. and that or whatever, but it could literally be like sugar and water. And because it's not a regulated industry, there's no one that can really hold them to account, unless like someone does like a third party study and actually calls them out for
it. But that's only in the States, right?
I believe it's in all markets. I'm not sure exactly. I would need to double check.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure this is just a huge issue in the like vitamin / supplement industry, where a lot of these companies are advertising that they have certain things in their in their pills or their supplements, but it's like maybe half of what they're saying is in there, or sometimes nothing at all, or it's like a different chemical altogether. Yeah, so there's a lot of issues in the vitamin industry right now, and supplement industry in general, that need to be called out. I'm sure there's a lot of videos that call this out already.
Mm-hmm. No, but I was just shocked because I didn't know that you could encapsulate that into a...
I didn't know either, so I would definitely need to look into that, or I would have people look into that for sure.
Yeah, because every time
I hope
see
people have looked into it.
Like videos about Ozempic or just like similar drugs like... Mm-hmm. We Gubby, Manjaro, whatever other things that they have, the number one comments are always like, oh my god, how did you get that? Like, apparently it's like this exclusive like thing, you know, not everyone can get it, like whatever, for whatever reason, super expensive or whatever, right? So
it could be that It could be people just capitalizing on it and not actually putting those things inside there, or like
that's messed
misrepresenting
up.
What they're actually putting inside, and
that's so messed
just
up.
Capitalizing off the fervor over this whole like Ozempic trend.
But so I did my research on it too, because like I didn't want to talk about it and then sound stupid and like not know what I was talking about. But essentially, it started off as a diabetes medication to help regulate blood sugar. But
yeah,
then I guess
we spoke about it.
Yeah, and then they realized like, oh wait, you also lose a lot of weight on it.
Yeah.
But then there's like actual like pills. What's it called? The diabetes medication, the famous one.
Not Ozempic, right?
No. It's like before Ozempic was ever a thing.
Yeah.
My mom used to take it. Metformin.
Oh, okay.
I was like, what is it called?
Yeah.
That apparently does the same
thing.
And then I like when I first started seeing what Ozempic even was actually because I was doing research on PCOS. And then like a lot of girls or women who had PCOS were on Ozempic because there was like a couple of studies that were done that like correlated regulating your period and the PCOS symptoms with taking this medication. And then they would show like these extreme weight loss videos.
Yeah.
Transformations.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, whoa, like what's in that? Like what's in this drug? Like I want to look it up. And then it was like everyone, whether they have PCOS or not, girls, guys, men, like everyone's on it. And I'm just like, what is this? Like, is this even safe? Like, and then, you know, when I knew that it became like the popular drug, because, you know, every single celebrity that loses weight now is accused of being on it.
Yeah.
Is when I saw it on TV. You know, usually they'll have those things and then the infomercial will be like, side effects may include, and it's like really fast.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, damn, this thing
they
is like.
They started advertising it on TV?
I saw it on TV.
Really?
Yeah.
Nah, people don't realize like how. First off,
like if you're misusing the drug, the pen, whatever, the needle, like if you're not actually diabetic, because the only studies that actually prove that it's like it was done for diabetes, the weight loss thing, I think, is relatively new.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. We've only heard about it in what, the past year?
Year or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, OK, you lose all this weight. Do you stay on it forever? Do you get off?
That's,
how do you maintain?
That's the thing. Like you don't. If you're not building up the habits that require you to, like, once you're off this, you know, to stay in this new shape that you're currently in.
Yeah.
How are you going to stop yourself from even getting back to where you were before?
Because the thing is, the whole reason why you lose weight is because you suppress, like, you don't eat as much.
Exactly.
So you're naturally in a, like, even if you don't work out, you're automatically in a calorie deficit. Which is going to further prove you can, but let's just push that thought to
I'm just saying, you're proving my point. We've argued about this 100 times.
But
it literally like, okay, go ahead. Keep going.
But my thing is when you eventually stop, doesn't your appetite come back to what it used to be?
Well,
or
yeah,
does it just like
it
stay?
Does. Because it's tricking your brain. That's still there. It's
no,
just stopping
like,
that signal from getting to you.
Let's say you're like 300 pounds and you start doing these needles every day, whatever. And then you lose 150 pounds and now you're 150 pounds. Wouldn't your appetite change as
it doesn't matter if your appetite has changed. If you're not eating the proper foods, like the lower calorie, richer, more nutrient rich foods to begin with, then and you go back to eating and you've always just been eating the same things you are, maybe you're just eating a little bit less of whatever you're eating before, you're just going to eat maybe a little bit more, and that little bit more is going to be getting you over that calorie surplus, getting you to that calorie surplus, and then you're just going to slowly gain it back. It might not be immediate, but you're going to be over time just slowly building it back up, and you're not even going to realize it.
This is for the person who's not using it effectively.
Yeah.
Are there
because, sorry, you might make the case that I was about to make, but go ahead.
Yeah, like I was going to say, like, the smart person or the person who's trying to make this like a long-term lifestyle change would have to literally change their diet.
Yeah, they would have to change their lifestyle.
Sorry, yeah, their lifestyle, not just diet, but like even move more. And then when they eventually get off the drug, they don't have to be so dependent on it.
Definitely. So it definitely, they both come together. Like if you're going to be taking this, you're going to take this drastic step, whatever, like, you know, that's your choice, mm-hmm. you should be making a more of a lifestyle change in unison with that,
in conjunction with that.
Exactly. So because hopefully you're off of it like sooner rather than later. Like you don't do this for many, many years.
Yeah.
Because you can grow accustomed to it and you can start to rely on it essentially.
Yep. Exactly.
Then you're setting yourself up more for success if you like actually make that lifestyle change while getting onto it.
Then wouldn't one be able to argue that mm-hmm. you're not losing weight because of Ozempic? You're losing, like, it's just like it's like just helping you.
Yeah, it's helping you, but at that point, it's like, why even take it? Mm. Why not just do it the natural route? You've seen a lot of people do it the natural route.
Yeah.
So you might as well just go with that. And also, like, have you seen people call it the Ozempic face for a reason? Mm-hmm. Like, it's very hard to be able to lose that weight, but also keep muscle.
Yeah.
And grow muscle while you're in such a calorie deficit, because it's so low that, like, you literally would have to go change to like a carnivore diet to be able to get enough protein in your body and enough calories to be able to give your body fuel to build those muscles, to build that muscle so you don't look very disproportionate. Like, similar to that whole body recomposition thing I was mentioning earlier.
Right.
Like, it throws off your whole body recomposition because you're just losing the weight, but, like, now it's just revealing all the places where, you know, you've been neglecting over time, because, you know, there are certain muscles that if you neglect them for a while, like, depending on your body structure, you're going to look kind of like lopsided in a way. It really depends on the person.
Yeah, but like the one thing I don't understand, like, I've heard of Ozempic face, but I don't get it, because you don't have muscle. Well, I guess you do have muscles in your face, but like, you don't. Is it the collagen that you lose or the fat? The fat.
It's the fat, yeah.
Oh, never mind.
Because, you lose fat, you lose it everywhere. You can't, like, yeah, I mentioned you also before, you can't spot reduce.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One thing actually I might need to recount, or not recount.
Retract.
You know, retract or rethink. I did talk a lot of ish about, you know, Love is Blind last week.
Mm, did you watch it?
No, I didn't watch it.
Oh.
But I was listening to another podcast, the Extra Gravy Show.
Yeah.
Which is another Toronto podcast.
Love them.
And I heard a different perspective that made me like rethink specifically just Love is Blind, Habibi.
Oh, they watched it?
Because, one female on the show, the one woman, Alicia, she's on the show. She's one of the hosts. And she was talking about watching Love is Blind, Habibi. Mm. And, like, you know, how much she loved it or whatever. And an interesting perspective that she gave me is that, like, this is a lot of non-Muslims' introductions to, like, almost like an Islamic type of way. I know it's a very liberal way of it going, but like, it's definitely very different from what they're normally used to seeing, because she has watched the other Love is Blind shows,
the American one,
and the main thing, of course, that they mention is, like, you know, the lack of intimacy that's usually shared between the partners before they actually get married, right, and that was very surprising. And she actually expressed how, like, you know, she thought that was actually maybe more positive thing, right?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times on, like, the Love is Blind shows, some of the controversy is, like, them, you know, after the meeting, whatever, they go and they do their thing, you know what I'm talking about? And then they start talking, like, ish about that, and they might start exposing things that it shouldn't be about a different person. At least I heard she mentioned there might have been some drama about that on another Love is Blind season. But she also, she thought the fact that they involve their families a lot, and like how they really need the blessing of their parents and they want to make sure they meet their parents, like, they thought those were all like very beautiful things to see in a different culture, right?
Yeah.
So that was one thing that gave me, I was like, you know what, though I still don't like Love is Blind and just reality shows like that in general, it is cool that like other people can see, though it's very like a very liberal take on like the culture, more less religious but more the culture, a little bit of the religious side of it as well, but it's interesting getting the reaction to that and seeing the positives of you know, holding off the intimacy to a degree until you actually, like, you know, until you get married, and how important it is to involve family and, you know, ask the all important questions, to have certain principles that, like, you know, if you guys can't agree on certain principles, then, you know, maybe it's not right for me, and like holding true to your principles and all those things. So it was a very interesting perspective, and, you know, it kind of, at least that was like one positive thing, because I did talk a lot of ish about it last time. I was like, you know, it gave me at least one positive takeaway from this show and how it can actually be a positive example of, you know, a certain culture that people aren't really aware of and that we're more inclined to respect, or like, not respect, but
it just kind of enlightens you to other cultures. Like, but actually, you know what, this past week I was watching, I there was a day, it was actually Wednesday, I knew I was gonna have a long day at work, so I'm like, I need to get my workout in now before I go to work, which meant 5 a.m
I thought about that. I still
don't. It actually, no, but you know what's crazy? What? When I did my workout at 5 a.m I went the whole day in the office and then had the work dinner and then I came home and I felt like I didn't work out because it was so long ago.
Yeah.
That I was like, damn, should I do another workout?
That's the one positive thing I can think about.
You have the rest of your day.
Yeah. And I feel like it's something that I will eventually have to accept because, like, you know, when I start growing a family and all those things, I can't be going right after work anymore, you know, especially with editing and doing all these. There's certain sacrifices you have to start making.
Exactly.
And I've seen it with my coworkers, some of them who have kids and stuff. They're like, yeah, I got to start working. I got to wake up 4 a.m. in the morning, going to sleep at 9. You know, when the kids go to sleep, I'm going to sleep, right?
Yeah.
So it is a thought that I've had.
Yeah.
So it's interesting seeing that you've tried it.
But
you can see the positive.
Oh, yeah. Returns. Like, because I'm comparing it to, like, working out before work versus after work. After work, I'm just like, literally dragging my feet to do it. Like, today, I didn't work out in the morning. So, I know after recording, after I go grocery shopping and run all my errands, I'm going to have to do my workout. Yeah.
That's why, like, for those days, I always tell people, like, even 10 minutes is enough. If you can't get in a workout, at least you can't go to do a workout. Like, do something at home. Like, do something so that, like, you can at least tick the box, you know?
Yeah, that's what I did Thursday when I was dying. And I'm like, my workout was scheduled to be an hour. I'm doing 30 minutes and that's all I can do today.
Yeah, because if that's all you can do, I think there's actually a guy that I follow on TikTok. I forget. His name is like something wellness. I can't remember the exact name. But he's always preaching about, like, you know, it's very easy. You know, get your 10,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
You know, get your diet in check, all those things. Like, you know, it's not hard to do. Just here are the tips and tricks that I've learned. And he even is real sometimes and he's like, yeah, I just went to the gym today. I wasn't feeling it. I was in there for like 15, 20 minutes. I did a couple push-ups, went on a treadmill for a bit, did some crunches and ab workout, and I dipped. He said it's like just the routine, being there and doing the routine of it is more than enough. Sure, you didn't do the whole workout you had planned to do, but just being there and still keeping it part of your routine, well, you're more likely to keep to stay on it, right? Because if you... I think they say it's like it takes like 2 or 3 weeks to build a habit and like 1 day to break it.
Yeah.
So sometimes it just requires you to like just take that 1 or 2 minutes to put some effort towards that thing you had planned, even if it's not 100%, and then keep moving.
Yeah.
And inshallah, the next day you'll be able to, you'll have the energy to do it fully.
Yeah.
But as long as you do it, you still had a part of your routine.
Exactly. And so that day, it's 5 a.m., imagine. And I'm doing intervals, like running intervals, run, walk.
Yeah.
So as I'm doing this, I'm like, might as well watch Love is Blind. So you know how I have a standing desk?
Yeah.
I just like made it really high. And as I'm going, I'm watching Love is Blind. I think at this point, everyone who has watched the latest season has already finished this episode. But one of the couples who...
Wait, is there another Love is Blind?
The American season.
Are they all going at the same time?
Yeah, they essentially.
Okay, yeah.
But so this one, one of the couples that I feel like they hit it off pretty well from the beginning and they were like doing really well. They, I think it was like a couple days before their wedding. The guy breaks up with the girl.
Yeah.
I'll tell you his reasoning in a second, but it was just like, she was like hysterical, like, really just like going through it. And
like,
imagine
there weren't any signs.
So after like her mom is like, she was kind of like hard on, she wasn't the nicest person, but she was
to him.
Yeah, like I think she kind of saw through his BS. And then he basically, like, the night before they had this conversation where they're breaking up, he spoke to like a cousin or aunt or something like that. And he was previously married. This cousin, or I think it was his aunt, but she told him like his ex-wife was doing like horribly after their divorce, And I think that impacted him.
Wait, what do you mean his ex-wife was doing horribly?
Like mental health.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know.
How does she know?
I guess, because he was married to her, so I guess they all are like,
oh, the aunt of the woman that he used to be married to.
No, his own aunt.
Oh, his own aunt. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why she's
like,
that.
Like keeping in touch.
I.
Okay.
But he brought that up to the girl that he's engaged to now, and like he used that as like, oh, you know, when she told me this, like it kind of got in my head, and the crazy thing. I know, like, but it was just like out of the blue because 2 days before that they were like perfectly fine and just like he was in it and ready to fight and whatever.
Yeah.
And the point that you made about how Alicia was saying like, I love how like she liked how
from the Extra Gravy Show.
From the Extra Gravy Show, liked how in Love is Blind Habibi, like they weren't intimate pre-marriage and stuff like that. This couple was and they talked about it a lot. But then okay, maybe this is gonna take a little bit of a turn, so we might cut this out. But this is why we need Patreon to include the exclusive content after. But anyways, he essentially in the honeymoon, so like you know how they get engaged and then they go to like some destination for like a week. There everything was fine. They're like, oh yeah, we connect, we have a great physical connection. Then they have to move in together.
Yeah.
And when they moved in together, she was, it was the time of the month for her. And she, like, has a hard time whenever it's that week. And he was just experiencing that for the first time. And he was just like, oh, my, like, it turned into this fight. And then he told her, like, he was scared to have kids. She told him to use contraceptives. And he said no. And that's what their fight was over. Like, literally over that.
I'm telling you, man, like that's the thing. He got what he wanted at that point.
Yeah, it's kind of so, like
when you give yourself to someone.
Yeah.
Like you're very, that's a very intimate, like very exposed, not exposed.
Vulnerable.
It's a very like vulnerable state to be in, right?
Yeah, but I feel like that's like American culture.
It is. But I don't know. I still don't understand how like you can be that vulnerable with someone and that open with someone without, you know, covering all the hard question or answering all the hard questions and like covering all the bases basically first.
I think it's so yeah, but it's so normal for like if you're not,
but it's weird how something normal they know is not good for you, like just society has accepted it, just like how drinking for them is like normal. They know it's not good for you. They see all the they hit the mic there, they see all the like deaths and like the hurt and the pain that comes from it, including this thing, this being intimate with someone before marriage, yet they still accept it as something that's normal and is just expected within society.
Yeah, you're right.
It's really weird how they think that they're the progressive ones.
No, I know. And and it was just like so sad. Like imagine I'm running and like literally sweat trickling down my face and this girl is sobbing. And I don't even think I was like taking in the scene.
Yeah.
And then on my way to work, I was like flashbacks. And I'm like, damn, that was a tough breakup. I'm like, I feel like I went through that with her.
What?
Yeah, no, it was very like.
He
it
did
was
her
very
a service, honestly.
Yeah, I think
he
now.
Did, yeah, like he wasn't. I don't think
he did her a favor by ending it before they got married. But it made me realize like, because she kept saying like, are you sure? Like, why? What? Like, what's your reasoning? Like, okay, you spoke to your aunt and now you're in your head. But like give me something.
That's why I kind of gave you a weird eye or no side eye there earlier because I feel like he already felt like this a lot earlier and was just looking for a reason.
Yeah. I saw that theory.
And he couldn't think of a good reason. Yeah.
Cuz I looked it up online like on TikTok and stuff. And actually one of the things that they didn't agree on was that the reason why he was such a fan favorite was actually because he openly spoke about his support for Palestine and how he doesn't agree with the U.S.
Is
military.
Is the guy with the
two
braid?
Dreads? Yeah.
A lot of people were hating on him.
Ramses. Yeah, now because he's the one that like decided to do this. But in the beginning, he was like talking because she served in the military and he told her he didn't support that. And she was
that's the video I saw.
Yeah.
The thing is, this is weird how like worlds collide because I have a very like pro Palestine TikTok
algorithm,
and because this was sort of related to that, he showed up on my thing, and that was my first like introduction to him. So I thought of him as more of in a positive light.
No, he was, and we were all like, "Yes, King," like period, like exactly. he's not afraid to speak up about it. And he and she said to him, like, if and her friends and her mom and stuff were like, if she was to ever go back, he was like, that's grounds for divorce.
Exactly.
Because he's like, morally, he's we don't align. Mm-hmm. And like, fine.
But also, why would he want to be? I'm just saying, like,
I don't know.
Because it's also, it's not only the person that you're marrying, it's the friends and the family. Because in that same video I saw, her friends were also in that army and were, like, very pro, you know, war and all that stuff.
And that should have been his, like, from the jump. Like, red flag. Because they spoke about this in the pods. So he knew, and they still decided, like, well, she's not in the military anymore, so, like, you know, we're just going to move forward. Like, forward, sorry, that's her past, it is what it is. But I feel like when he met the friends, like, that's when he decided, like, nah, this girl isn't for me. But he just... I think he didn't fully accept it, and it took him some time, and then it maybe speaking to his aunt, like, put things into perspective. Or
I
don't know,
man. Some men, like, I feel like he might have already wanted to end it as right after they got intimate. I feel like a lot of men, they get what they want out of it. Like, oh, you know, just out of curiosity, like, I wonder how it would be to be with that person. They get what they want out of it. They do all that stuff. They're like, okay, I'm good. Now it's just it's just my plan of figuring out how to get out of this. Yeah. I feel like a lot of men think like that.
That's not right.
At least those who are accustomed to just getting, you know, what they want out of the woman and then leaving, right? In this case, because they're on a show, he has to find a good reason. He didn't really find a really good reason. He kind of made up something on the spot, but it was his only way out because he was getting close to the day. So he left.
Yeah. That's not
right. That's my theory on the situation, at least.
But, like, even from a, like, you may not necessarily have these thoughts, but, like, as a man, I'm sure you understand how other men think, too. Like,
oh. Sorry, my forearm and bicep just, like, cramped.
Like a random spasm?
It cramped. I just tried to, like, pull it back and it cramped. Okay, go ahead.
Are you okay? Ow.
It's okay. It happens sometimes after I do arm workout.
I was saying as a man, even though you may not necessarily agree with this thought process, do you feel like that's the, like, not epidemic, but, like, that's the issue today with, like, because, you know, a lot of people have been complaining about, like, dating in today's society and how difficult it is because men are either have a fear of vulnerability or commitment issues or they just, like, don't know how to get deep mentally and emotionally. Like, they're just strictly
a lot of men, because it's like they know they have all the options in the world at that point, right? So, like, if they're willing to give me all that I want anyways, like, the things that, you know, a lot of men are thinking with the thing down there instead of the thing up here, right? So, you know, not that, you know, a lot of great men out there, okay? I'm just saying sometimes
you're trying to not get the guys to hate on,
like,
him.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of men are gonna think that I'm, like, turning, bagging on them right now or turning on them.
They're gonna be like, simp.
Yeah, but simp. This is just something I've seen, because, and maybe it's because I'm online a lot, this is what I'm shown. But we see it in how society is currently dealing with relationships and marriage. It even happens in the Muslim community, right? There are a lot of men who have been exposed to, like, want certain things. Sure, they're not going as far as, or even some of them might be going that far as getting, having, like, intercourse with someone. But, like,
cheating, you mean?
Huh?
Cheating?
Not cheating. Just, like, when they get into a relationship, even with another Muslim woman, they are looking for, like, certain things.
Yeah.
Including, you know, in Islam we call it zina. They're looking for those things too, for someone who, they're trying to find someone who's vulnerable enough to let them do those things while not having that full commitment. That's how far it's reached, to the where even in the Muslim community you're seeing things like that, right?
That's sad.
So think about how it is in the non-Muslim community, where that's not even, like, a thought. Like, oh yeah, sure, you know, do whatever you want. There are people who are, you know, they're talking about, what are they called, the body counts.
Oh, body, like, count.
Yeah, body counts is a thing, and these are all just, you know, symptoms or, yeah, symptoms of, like, a sick society and, like, how it deals with relationships and intimacy and how important it really is to people. And not important, but, like, that sacredness of intimacy and, like, how people should be, how people aren't holding on to it as much as they should be, right? Because of that, we're seeing all of the things that are going on today with relationships and marriage.
So what would your advice be? Not that I'm going to put you on the spot to give unsolicited advice.
Well, like, the advice is always just to go back to the teachings of Islam and, like,
be abstinent. Is that the word?
Yeah, abstinence is definitely, like, key. Like, that's 100%.
Yeah.
Right? I feel like if society, we went back to that, I feel like it would solve a lot of problems both with, like, relationships and marriage. And even it might even, like, be connected to other issues going on with society. that we don't even aren't even aware of that are being affected because by these things, right?
Yeah, because if men are easily controlled by the physical, mm-hmm. like if that's all yeah, that
motivations
drives
will
their,
change.
Yeah, like but if you if it's not that intimacy isn't important. I just think like pre-marriage, because when you work your way up to marrying someone, you're making a lifelong commitment, mm-hmm. right? But being intimate with someone pre-marriage is not a lifelong commitment. It's a however many minutes it takes commitment. Mm-hmm. Like you're there for that time and then you can literally F off after that.
Yeah.
So I think like if you, and this is not us like preaching at you guys, you know what I mean? Like to each their own. Mm-hmm. But we're just saying like from what we've seen, if you focus all of your energy on, especially if you're dating or getting to know somebody and you're trying to get married and you don't want to, and you're stuck in this cycle of like, oh, like I was talking to this girl or I was talking to this guy and things fizzled out after X amount of months or weeks mm-hmm. or whatever because we did this. Mm-hmm. Like maybe then you just have to be a little bit introspective and realize that you can't always... what's the saying that I want to use or the thing you can't give everything away for free right off the bat, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You kind of have to like make them work for it.
Yeah, and people would come back say, oh, you're just judging, right? People
no, there's all no judgment,
but like we know no these things because they've worked and like mm-hmm. you know it's we know because also our religion preaches these things,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and our religion is perfect, so whatever it is telling us to do or whatever it's commanding us to do mm-hmm. is
for our own good
even yeah. if people currently can't see the benefit of it, like yeah. they don't realize how it you know affects generations going forward.
But even something like, we won't even use like the intimacy as an example, but mm-hmm. like I know so many people mm-hmm. non-Muslims who were heavy drinkers and then they stopped drinking and they tell me how their life has changed when mm-hmm. they stopped drinking alcohol.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking at them like, I've been telling you.
It's like, yeah, you know, when you stop drinking poison, of course your life's going to change.
I've been saying.
It's literally poison, but whatever.
You know? And I always, every time we're at these work dinners and stuff, I always mm-hmm. get the question of like, don't you ever like crave it or want to try alcohol? And I'm like, not if I've never tried, like, sorry, mm-hmm. but like I've smelt it. It doesn't even, like, if it smells bad, why would I want to drink it?
But if you think, even what they're saying to you, they're like, oh, you haven't, like, ever thought, like, how does poison taste? I think there's literally a Instagrammer who's actually a non-Muslim, but he's a funny comedian mm-hmm. Who doesn't drink. Mm-hmm. And he said that exact line. He's like, I don't drink, and I go to parties, and I always get this question. He's like, not even once? it's almost like the question we get when we're fasting.
Not even water?
He literally said it's the exact same like tone and everything, but in regards to alcohol. Mm. And he's like, no. It's like, have you ever said someone, have you never tasted poison? Yeah. It's like, not even once. It's like, it's poison, bro. Why are you telling me to drink poison?
Right.
But it's weird how society can accept certain things over others. And, you know, it's maybe one of those a lot of times.
It's one of those things where, like, well, everybody's doing it, so.
Yeah, but, you know, if everyone jumped off a cliff, would you?
I wouldn't.
Actually, that does make me think, that saying, I start to realize that, yeah, people would. Like, if everyone was jumping off a cliff, maybe... metaphorically, but like, you know, even almost literally, then people might actually contemplate jumping off a cliff. Yeah. At least that's how I've seen, like, do the reactions of what's going on today in society.
Yeah.
You know, with like Trump out here and everything. Mm-hmm. That Trump's like essentially like jumping off a cliff in my eyes.
Yeah.
Did you hear what happened recently with Trump?
No.
So actually, there's a lot that I wanted to talk about today.
How many minutes are we in?
We're like an hour and 10 minutes into this.
What?
I don't know if we can cover... Maybe we can like quickly go over a lot of the things. But so, have you ever thought about voting for Trump? You might think again after this. Or maybe you're not, you know, because he might be the person who would jump off a cliff. But it recently came out. So his four-star general, I think his name was... Oh, shoot, I've got to write down his name. His name was like Terry something. He used to be a four-star general.
What does that even mean, four-star general?
General for the army.
Oh.
Right? Okay. What other general?
Why isn't he a five-star general?
You know, maybe he didn't get the good reviews, you know?
Oh, damn. Yeah. At least he's four and not three-star.
Four.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, I got it.
But, okay, so he came out with like a tell-all, or I don't know, it was an interview, I believe.
Okay.
Where he was kind of saying, like, you know, why he quit working for Trump, because he used to be part of Trump's cabinet, his advisory group, whatever. And the stuff that Trump was saying, so here's a couple quotes. So he said that Trump would regularly say, Hitler did some good things.
Of course, that's the first thing.
On multiple occasions, he would say this. And then he would also say, because he was talking to the general, he's like, I need the kind of generals that Hitler had, because he wants to be able to do it. And then his general replied, he's like, you know that they tried to kill him like 3 times, right? Oh, and gosh. And then he said that Trump would be like, nah, they didn't. They didn't try to do that. He would just deny it. No evidence or anything. He just deny it immediately. So that was like, I was like, how is this guy is still running right now? Honestly, like,
are you surprised?
I'm not surprised personally, just from hearing all the other things he said, but like, there are still people who are supporting this person. But at the same time, I'm like, Americans, at least Americans who are like pro Palestine at the moment, or just pro humanity in general, are now like stuck between a rock and a hard place. And I can't say, because I'm not in their shoes, like, I can't say what the right decision is, because you hear a lot of discourse around, like, you know, you can't, we're not going to vote for, what's her name?
Kamala Harris.
Kamala, because, you know, she's very pro-Israeli, and Trump is even more pro-Israeli.
Yeah, they're like, are they like lesser of the evil? Who should we vote
exactly.
for?
Exactly. And like,
there's a third party thing.
Yeah, there's like people who are trying to make more of a principle stand.
Like the Green Party.
Are going towards Jill Stein's party.
That's her name.
Yeah. I don't know the name. Maybe it's the Green Party. I can't remember the exact name because she's pro-Palestinian. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are saying, oh, that's just throwing out your vote because the likelihood of a third party winning is pretty much non-existent.
I mean, if all the pro-Palestinians, whether you're Muslim or not, get together, that's
like 2%.
Oh
yeah, it's not that much. So people forget that like the internet world is very different than the real world.
Yeah,
in the real world, almost nobody, at least what I've realized, is that almost nobody cares about what's going on with the Palestinians, or at least they might care, but they don't care enough to make it a single vote issue for them.
But it also depends, like, the percentage of Americans that actually go out to vote. And I've been seeing, like, I feel like,
well,
Americans,
yeah, that's the whole thing. They're being disenfranchised, right? In general.
Yeah.
But go ahead. What were you saying?
I was going to say, I feel like American media really, really, really pushes their people to vote. Mm-hmm. Like, there's always these campaigns with, like, celebrities. Like, did you see that Kamala Harris had Beyonce and Kelly come out for her rally or whatever?
They had Eminem come out for Tim Walz at one point. Or Obama.
Yeah.
In Michigan. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just feel like there's such a strong push that maybe the right people, or the people that are on the right side of history, are actually going to go out and vote. I know a lot of people feel discouraged and they're like, it doesn't matter. Whatever happens, we're screwed anyways. And they just don't vote.
Yeah. But still, even like, if you're a principled person, like, I can see why you might be, like I mentioned, stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's because, like, you can go and, like, just do an undecided, or, like, I forget what they call it, like a protest vote, essentially, where you just don't put in a name for that.
But you still vote?
Yeah, you can still go and vote and just not put in a name.
Isn't that throwing away
That's like
vote?
A protest vote.
What does that do?
Huh? It's making your voice known by saying, like, I don't want either of these people, right? Or, like, voting for the third party, knowing that, at least in their eyes, what they're saying is that you're technically voting for, you know, the opposing party, in this case would be the Republicans. But then at the same time, people are like, you know, how can it get any worse? And because you could say, oh, you know, if Trump wins, he's going to allow them to do what? Like, what is he going to allow them to do that they haven't already done?
Right.
The government has already sent billions of dollars and has not stopped. Like, nothing has deterred them from sending even more money almost every month. We're hearing a new story almost every week at this point.
Right.
They're just sending more money, right?
Right.
And no matter what Biden or Kamala, whatever, whoever says anything to the Israeli government, they don't care. It doesn't change any of their actions.
Yeah.
You could say, oh, you know, if Trump wins, he'll try and send troops. America's already sent troops. Mm-hmm. There are troops in Israel already. You saw that whole island thing, that humanitarian corridor they made, or shipment. What was it again? Do you remember there was a whole flower disaster? The flower massacre.
Oh, where they sent
But they made like an island. The American government side, they made like a $200 million island that was off the coast of Gaza. And then they said that they would be able to provide aid through there, right? And they're like, oh, the Americans are doing something. But then it turned out that that was all a like a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
Where they put on, I don't know, maybe it was IDF or even American soldiers. I think American soldiers were also part of this.
There's no way.
Yeah, where they like hid them in the trucks. They put them in.
That's messed up.
They drove them in. And then the people who were desperate for flour went running towards these trucks. They immediately started opening fire on these people. And you saw what happened with that, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, the worst, it, when you try and go down the line, be like, okay, how can he make it worse? Trump in this case, there's very little he can do because even the rhetoric he uses, even if he tells them, go ahead and do what you want, they were going to do it anyways.
Yeah, they've been burning people alive.
Yeah.
As of recently.
Exactly. You saw what's going on within northern Gaza right now, right? Where they're literally, what they call them, death marches. These are going on in the north of Gaza. No one's talking about it.
Yep.
Right? So, it's like people can't fathom how it can get any worse. And we've seen how things can get worse. But like at this point, it seems like it can't get any worse.
Right.
And no matter how much rhetoric Trump can spew, I don't think the Israeli government, either way, they even care. They're going to continue doing what they want.
Right.
Though I still don't believe that he should be president for other reasons, including the things that I just said right now. I can see how someone might try and at least think about it in that way, how I was just talking about it. That's why I'm saying, like, I can't put myself in their shoes, so I'm not going to make any judgments on whatever choice someone makes. It's just interesting, you know, seeing the place that they're stuck in right now and, like, you know, the hard decision people have to make right now.
Yeah, we're definitely speaking from a place of privilege where we are... we literally have the luxury of sitting back and just watching instead of having to feel that pressure of like, oh my God, my vote could or could not influence, you know, the next 4 years of the United States and the rest of the world at that.
Exactly. Because outside of what's going on in Palestine, like they still have their own issues going on within their own country. Right. So it's, you know, it's a lot to think about for those people. But I also don't want to like, there's also speaking of other things going on in the world. There's another story I wanted to speak up about. We haven't, I don't know if we spoke about it. I think we spoke about it last week or before that as well. But I wanted to go back to Sudan for a second just to give an update on what's going on there, because I feel like this is something that we have to continue to speak about, because though what's going on in Palestine is horrible, both things are horrible that are going on in both places, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, even the thing that's even more sickening about what's going on in Sudan is that it's being funded by the UAE. I believe the RSF is being funded by the UAE. If that makes
sense. Oh my God.
Yeah, I believe that's how it works. Yeah, so the current state of Sudan right now is that there's a place called Gezira State where it's almost been completely wiped off the map in terms of like the civilians there. And the thing is that they're not only killing the people here, but they're also using other horrible tactics like, you know, sexually assaulting these people and using that as a tactic to terrorize the people, essentially.
That's right.
Like it's intentionally being done because they know how it terrorizes the people there.
Yeah.
So that's, and I believe the number was 11 million people who are displaced currently.
Wow.
Yeah, 11 million people. Like I don't even.
That's a huge number.
You can't
even
fathom that number. Exactly. And already thousands of people have been massacred from this this conflict, right? And it's being funded by people who should be, you know, promoting more. These are Muslims. A lot of these people, like, what is it, 90% of the people in Sudan are Muslim, are they not?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Sudan's considered a Muslim country.
Yeah, and this is a Muslim state, well, quote unquote, Muslim state that is funding this and allowing this to happen.
I wouldn't have hope in UAE or any of the Arab countries.
Yeah.
To, like, with the exception of course, like, I think it was Lebanon, Iran that supported Gaza, right? Yemen. Yeah. There are a small handful of Muslim countries where the leaders, sorry, I should say not the countries because the people don't represent the leader, but where the leaders are brave enough to stand up against what's right and what's wrong. But UAE is not one of them.
Yeah, they've always been very, like, you know, just money focused.
Oh, 100%.
Wherever the money is going, they're going to do that. If they feel like they can, because the reason there's funding the RSF in this case is because they know they can strip the land of its resources. It's all for resources, right? Yeah. They're just doing the same thing that the Western governments are doing.
Greed.
Yeah, it's all greed. Just so they can build their higher mountains, right?
Skyscrapers.
Yeah, their skyscrapers, sorry. Just so they can build their skyscrapers. Mm. But I just wanted to give an update on that situation as well, because it's just horrible. That's what's going on in these two hotspots in, like, the Muslim nation.
Yeah.
And inshallah,
pray for them.
Yeah, we got to pray for them, and that whatever conflict is currently going on is taken care of, and the people can get back to, you know, safety and basically all the things that we currently take for granted, right?
Yeah.
Like being able to not worry about whether they're going to be alive the next day or not.
Exactly.
You know, have all the shelter and food and sustenance that they need. Before we end the podcast, I wanted to cover a few more replies. I wanted to reply to a couple people who left some pretty interesting comments on our last video.
Yeah.
The first one being DM. Let's just say DM.
DM.
Oh, DM. Okay. DM, in theory, in Pairs, which is the app that we spoke about last week, is a good idea. However, having people pay for sometimes months on end while not being matched was why I came off. So this is actually someone who used to use it. I would hope if they're using AI to match people now, it's not being done superficially. And actually, I did see a reply because there was someone who made a TikTok complaining about the service and how she didn't
find matches.
And like there's some issue. And because she wanted to get off the app, she wasn't getting her money back, even though she wanted to cancel like 3 months earlier. And Zakaria actually came out and made a video reply specifically to her saying like, hey, we made a mistake here. We're still growing.
Yep.
This app grew exponentially faster than we thought it would.
Yep.
So, you know, there are certain things that we weren't prepared for, and we accept that, and we're going to make sure you get your money back, and we're going to improve these systems. Mm-hmm. And he did mention, I believe it was being done like by people originally, but he is introducing like an AI feature, like he mentioned last week,
right,
to improve the matching service.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully these things are addressed with that. And she actually mentions, you know, I would hope that if they're using AI to match people now, it's not being done superficially, and that you can see the match criteria to marry someone who isn't attractive. Oh, this is also a reply to the attractive, unattractive thing.
Yeah, blind,
yeah. Thing that we mentioned. She said to marry someone who isn't attractive to me also depends on whether they are just not attractive to me or not considered attractive to many people. Big difference. Yeah,
because some people are like, you know what it is. Mm-hmm. When you could meet someone, mm-hmm, and they could be like conventionally attractive, meaning like to majority of the people, yeah, they'd say, oh yeah, that person's good looking.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could meet someone who is not conventionally attractive. Mm-hmm. However, their character,
mm-hmm,
is beautiful, and that in turn beautifies them. Like usually what, like someone's personality and their character can help, can make or break someone,
because
mm-hmm, there are people who are conventionally attractive but the worst person on the inside.
Yeah.
And then over time you'll notice, like you'll look at them and you're like, you ain't even all that, mm-hmm, you're not even that cute.
Yeah.
But then there's someone who may not be conventionally attractive, but because they're so beautiful on the inside, naturally, like you won't even realize it, but they become more attractive,
yeah,
on the outside to you because they're such a good person.
Yeah. I think that's like the typical rule. Like, I understand that part.
Mm.
I was talking about someone's ugly, but, you know, that's different.
A face that only a mama could love.
Exactly. Yeah. But thank you for your response. And now another one I had was actually in response to us speaking about Liam's death or him passing away.
Mm.
His name was English Blade.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Liam's death really shook me. I loved One Direction as a kid, and the way he went crazy, but not surprising. Oh.
The way he went is crazy.
Yeah, the way he went is crazy. Sorry. But not surprising. They were severely overworked as 16 or 17-year-olds because Simon Cowell and his company knew the five of them came from working-class families who didn't know their rights. They did X Factor, 5 world tours, 5 albums, interviews globally in 5 years. Crazy. They ran them as boys dry, and he spoke about how they were too big anywhere they went. So they were locked in hotels and didn't question it because they didn't know how security worked for them. Not the other way around. And they can't say no. So basically, like, they thought the security was there to hold them in place. When they realized that security is working for them, they could actually go where they want. They'll just follow them, right?
Right.
And Liam said he developed alcoholism, which he never recovered from. Another thing, you know, alcohol, I'm just saying, man, never a good place to be. Zane developed severe eating disorder, which his family made him leave the group because of. As a fan, I always knew he wasn't okay, but I didn't realize how bad it was. And that's something you typically see of people who come into the industry very young. Mm. They're usually taken advantage of. And once they grow out of it and they're no longer useful to people, they're left to deal with the consequences of all the things they were put through as children by themselves. And then you see things like this happen. Even if they do eventually come back and make a make a career out of it like Liam did, they still haven't fully, some of them haven't fully dealt with the trauma and the things they went through as children, essentially, when they're like exposed to this whole world, right? So this is just an example. He's an example. Liam was an example of that. But it's something that we see happen a lot of the times. And a lot of people in our childhood who grew up to have similar ends like this, or, you know, whether it be better or worse, but still not a, a positive place to be.
Yeah, it's like on one hand, you get to live this, what appears to be a fabulous life. You have a lot of money, or maybe you don't. Maybe you have a horrible contract and you get scammed, but you have a lot of fame and everyone adores you and they know your songs that you may or may not have written yourself. Who knows?
Yeah.
At the expense of your freedom. You can no longer go to the grocery store. And as this comment said, apparently they were locked in their hotels. Of course, you're going to resort to alcoholism. A lot of people don't drink alcohol because it tastes good. It's more of an escape, right? Because it's a mental break from reality itself. So it's very sad. It's very sad to see, like, to, and there's all these reports about, like, coming out about his autopsies and, like, what they found in his system and all that kind of stuff.
But it's not surprising because, you know, these guys went through a lot.
Yeah. There's actually one more comment that I want to talk about from Maymuna about Impairs. It says, I've been on Impairs since February and there are no black African men on there. And then another comment said, can you share what your experience
was? Yeah, I can see
like
how the demographic can be more like
anything else.
Anything else. It's very, it depends. A lot of times it does depend on like who's running it and the communities that they're advertising it to. Right? Because, like, there are certain things there. How you advertise to, like, the black Muslim community is very different than how you advertise to, like, the South Asian Muslim community or the Arab Muslim community, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they just need to figure out a way to appeal to those black Muslims in general.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes I know, like, maybe we've talked about this, but, like, in the past, like, even Modest wear brands, a lot of the black Muslim sisters felt like they were being overlooked a lot. And so even in this, like, if you're going to advertise as a Muslim matrimonial like app or whatever, you should try to cater to all Muslims of every ethnic background.
Exactly.
Or race.
But yeah, so thank you again, guys, for leaving those comments.
Yeah.
And for also for listening. If you like this video, make sure to hit the thumbs up. If you really like us, make sure to subscribe. You know, let's get to that 10,000. I'm just saying, we can hit 10K, guys. It's right there. It's right there, okay? I feel like we just need one big video. We got it in the bag. But
I have to announce that I'm getting married, and then for sure we'll hit 10,000.
Sara's getting married?
Not like that.
Okay. but yeah, so make sure also to follow us on all our social media platforms, Cousin Connection Pod, for all our updates and clips that we make from this podcast. But until then, we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.